Welcome to the Good Friday service of Emmanuel Lutheran Church. I am Pastor Larry Oliver. This Lent, we have been using the metaphor of eyesight to examine how the various people in Mark's Gospel viewed Jesus during his passion. In most cases, they misunderstood who he was and what he was doing, although occasionally someone got it right. As we conclude these 40 days of Lent, we again ask how we are like or unlike the people who saw Jesus in the flesh. Most importantly, we are reminded again what Jesus has done to save us from our sins by his holy, precious blood and innocent suffering and death. In this service, we are standing at the foot of the cross, but there are others standing there with us. Simon of Cyrene, the people who mocked Jesus, and the Roman centurion. All have their eyes on the cross as well. But the only viewpoint that truly matters is that of the triune God. The Father sees our sins put on Jesus on the cross. The Son looks on us in forgiving mercy. And the Holy Spirit sees the message we are to proclaim, "O come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus." So we begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. My fellow redeemed, there are many people watching our Lord as he finished the course he was determined to follow. He set his eyes on the cross before him. Few of the onlookers could understand what was happening, but not one of them deterred him from obeying his Father's will to suffer and die for us.
When a woman anointed him with precious oil, the disciples complained.
Why was the ointment wasted like that? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor.
Jesus said,
"She has anointed my body beforehand for burial." When Jesus announced that one of the 12 would betray him, they said to him,
"Is it I?"
He said to them,
"The Son of Man goes as it was written of him."
When he told the disciples to watch and pray, they fell asleep and did not know what to answer him. But he said,
"It is enough. The hour has come."
When he said they would fall away, Peter said to him,
"Even though they all fall away, I will not."
Jesus said to him,
"Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times."
When the high priest asked him, "Are you the Christ, Son of the Blessed?"
Jesus said,
"I am."
When Pilate asked him,
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
Jesus answered him,
"You have said so."
When Jesus and the disciples were eating the Passover meal, he revealed to them,
"This is my body. This is my blood of the covenant."
And when he was on the cross and the leaders mocked him, saying,
"He saved others. He cannot save himself."
He cried out,
My God, why have you forsaken me?"
Today, let us fix our eyes on the cross and realize, with the centurion,
that truly this man was the Son of God.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, so strengthen our faith this day that we may fix our eyes on Jesus, ignore the views of this fallen world, and see with clarity your love for us and all mankind, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading today comes from Isaiah chapters 52 and 53. Isaiah writes about how people saw our Lord enduring his passion, how his Father viewed the sacrifice, and the love which was in our Savior's eyes. "Behold, my servant shall act wisely, He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of children of mankind, so that he sprinkled many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him, for that which has not been told them they see, and that which they have not heard they understand. Who has believed what they heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, like a root out of the dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him, stricken him, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. We are like sheep that have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like sheep that are before their shearers are silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. And they made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul has an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied, and by his knowledge shall be the righteous one. My servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion of the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died, and he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord. We confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our first six midweek Lenten sermons focused on what was seen through the eyes of various characters in the Passion. Tonight we'll view Jesus' crucifixion through God's eyes, through the eyes of the members of the Trinity. We will see what they saw and what they accomplished at the cross for us and for our salvation. Let's first look at what God saw. He saw his only begotten Son suffering and dying unjustly on a Roman cross. Can you imagine watching your own child die in that way? It's unfathomable. As sinful mortals, we cannot comprehend what it is like to be the immortal, holy God, but surely the Father's heart was grieved beyond words. And what's even more unfathomable is that God loves you so much that he willingly inflicted this on his own beloved Son. In Romans, St. Paul wrote that the Father did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all. And he also wrote, God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait around for us to realize the need for us to clean up our act first. But while we were ungodly and enemies of God, in his righteous anger against the sin of the world, he slaughtered his own Son in our place. This means that we provoked the death of Jesus. On Pentecost, St. Peter preached, "This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. The Father gave the Son to the world, but you crucified and killed him." Yes, Peter is also talking to you and to me. He isn't offering some anti-Judaic rant, but an indictment of all sinners. Whether a sinner lived in the first or the 21st century, the guilt and blame is all the same. We all crucified the Son of God by our sin. A couple of hymns from the hymnal explain it in these words. Hymn 453, the fourth verse, says this, "I caused your grief and sighing by evils multiplying as countless as the sands. I caused the woes unnumbered with which your soul is cumbered. Your sorrow raised by my wicked hands." And from hymn 448, "O child of woe who struck the blow that killed our gracious master, it was I, thy conscience cries, I have wrought disaster." As we acknowledge our sin and unworthiness, we need to see ourselves nailing Jesus to the tree. But at the same time, his crucifixion was according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God the Father. What value did the Father see in this plan? The Father saw, and now all of us can see, God's own glory being manifested in the world. This is what Jesus prayed for just hours before his crucifixion. He lifted his eyes up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. That from the 17th chapter of John. The Father and the Son both glory in having mercy on sinners. That is what they accomplished during Christ's perfect life, suffering, death, and resurrection. God the Father sees all of your sin taken upon Jesus on the cross, even the sin of crucifying his Son. Moreover, he sees wrath against sin being poured out upon the Son and the gates of hell prevailing over him. Yes, hell is being under God's wrath, and that is what the Father sees Jesus taking in your place to save you. Now, what about the Son's perspective? What did Jesus see that day so long ago? Jesus always knew that his name meant the Lord saves. So he sees himself not as the object of the Father's wrath, but as the subject of your salvation. He drinks his Father's wrath down to its dregs, finally crying out when abandoned by his Father, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" But this is no cry of despair. He suffers abandonment from his Father. He suffers the pains of a sinner condemned to hell. But still he looks to his Father with perfect love and trust. "My God," he cries out, with unbroken faith, with the words, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," he breathes his last. He knows his Father still loves him and will raise him from the dead on the third day. On Good Friday, what does Jesus see when he looks at you and me and all sinners? He recognizes you as the cause of his woe, but he doesn't hold it against us. The Lamb of God bears willingly. He wants nothing other than to be your Savior. He looks at you and then prays, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He stares into your sinful eyes and says, "I love you all the same. My Father and I love you so much that we would make this sacrifice for you. I am offering myself under the Father's wrath in your place to save you from your sins and spare you from hell." Finally, what does the Holy Spirit see? First, he sees the Son and comes to Jesus' aid as he offers his life as a ransom for the Father. We don't know the ins and outs of this, but the Epistle to the Hebrews says that Christ, through the eternal Spirit, offered himself without blemish to God, thus accomplishing your redemption by the blood of his cross. Jesus had received the Spirit without measure in his baptism, and we know that the Spirit is the helper. So it makes sense that the Holy Spirit not only helped Jesus fulfill all righteousness during his earthly ministry, but also helped him to offer himself to the Father on the cross. Second, on Good Friday, the Spirit sees everything that is necessary for the salvation of sinners is achieved by the Son. Again, Jesus had promised just hours before his death, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." Here we see the Holy Trinity working together in natural, perfect harmony. The Father gave the Son the task of redeeming mankind. The Son willingly took this task on himself. And the Holy Spirit joyfully proclaims this message to you so that you may enjoy the benefits of the Son's sacrificial death. The Spirit takes what is Christ's and declares it to you. He takes the righteousness of Jesus and instills it in the waters of holy baptism to make it a life-giving water, rich in grace, and a washing of new birth into God's eternal kingdom. He takes the forgiveness of Jesus and declares it to you through the gospel and through the words of absolution. And he presents to you the body given and the blood shed for you on the cross to be received for the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation in Holy Communion. On Good Friday, God's eyes see everything necessary to save you from sin, death, and hell. Although your own eyes look upon your guilt, unworthiness, and impurity, the Father looks upon your sin forgiven for Christ's sake. The Son credits his own righteousness to your account, and the Holy Spirit makes you participate in the holiness of Jesus. You are baptized in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So keep this truth in your mind, in your heart, and before your eyes at all times. When God looks at you, he sees the apple of his eye, his beloved child united with Christ in his death and raised up to new eternal life with him. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue with the prayer of the church. O Christ, Lamb of God, slain for the sin of the whole world, with penitent heart we come to your cross, pleading for mercy and forgiveness. Our sins, and they are many, have added to the burden of your suffering and have nailed you to the accursed tree. For us you tasted the agony of utter darkness, that we might not perish but have everlasting life. Have mercy upon us. O Christ, Lamb of God, embrace us with your love. Forgive us all our sins. Your death brings healing to our souls, peace to our minds, cleansing to our hearts. If you would mark iniquity, we could not come, for our hands are unclean, our lips are tarnished, and our heart is blackened by sin. But beholding you bleeding, despised, forsaken, dying, pierced, we come to be cleansed and forgiven. O Christ, Lamb of God, grant that we may hate sin and wickedness more and more as we behold you in your great agony. Our grateful heart today finds hope in your words, comfort in your promises, and salvation in your finished work on the cross, by which you have overcome sin, Satan, and death. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The closing prayer. Almighty God, graciously look upon these, your family, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed and delivered into the hands of sinful men to suffer death upon the cross, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We conclude in silence until we can rejoice in the knowledge of Jesus' resurrection on Sunday morning.